Come, a word of invitation. Come, a word of participation. Come. When someone asks you to come, they are inviting you to participate with them in some way. God has invited us to come to Him. In Isaiah 1:18, He says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God wanted mankind to be able to come and commune with Him, just like Adam and Eve had before the fall. He invited us, but first He had to make a way for sinful man to come to Him, a holy God. So He sent Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." But how is He going to save us? There was only one way. John 19:17-19 says, "And He, bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him and two other with Him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Come with us to Calvary.
Pain and suffering is great. There were many who had come to behold the one dying on the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 36 says, "And sitting down, they watched him there. Some came to mock." Matthew 27 goes on to tell us that they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and likewise also the chief priests were mocking him with the scribes and elders. Some came to mourn, like Jesus' mother, other women, and his disciple John, but there was one man there who hadn't come willingly. He was there because of bad choices, sinful choices he had made in his life. He too was beholding the man on the cross beside him. Luke 23:39-43 says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.' Come with us and hear the dying thief."
John 19:30 says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Luke 23:44-46 says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit.' And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Come with us and hear his cry of victory."
Long ago I saw my Savior bearing shame upon a tree. Then my heart was touched with sorrow, for I saw he bled for me. Lo, the sky was veiled in darkness, sudden trembling shook the ground, as the angry crowd was jeering, mocking Jesus all around. "It is finished," bound he cried, "oh, what love for me he died. In my stead he bled on Calvary, once for all Christ rescued me." Then my Savior called to heaven, as I saw his love anew. "Oh, my Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do." Free salvation now he offers, take his gift, oh, hear his plea. On the bloody cross behold him, join the shout of victory. "It is finished," loud he cried, "oh, what love for me he died. In my stead he bled on Calvary, once for all Christ rescued me."
Luke 23:50-56. "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man was before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and his body was laid. And they returned, prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." Come with us to the tomb.
Have taken the Lord. tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. Could it be that the soldiers have come in the night and his body they have stolen? They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. Why not go to the garden and see for yourself that the tomb of Jesus is empty? They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him.
The women were understandably confused. They expected to see a sealed tomb containing the body of Jesus. They came prepared to anoint the body after someone rolled the stone away for them. But that's not what they found that morning. Matthew 28:1-7 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." John 20 tells us that Mary Magdalene went to tell Peter and John that their Lord's body was not in the tomb. They both ran to the tomb. Verse 8 tells us that John saw and believed. Come with us to the empty tomb.
To the cross, I saw his bleeding side, and there upon Mount Calvary, all hope within me died. My Lord was crucified, my God was slain. They laid him in the grave, and all seemed vain. But Christ arose and broke the gloom. My Savior left behind the empty tomb. I followed Jesus to the grave and cried in deep despair. I fell before the garden tomb and wept in sorrow there. My Lord was crucified, my God was slain. They laid him in the grave, and all seemed vain. Christ arose and broke the gloom. My Savior left behind the empty tomb. I saw the stone was rolled away. I heard a voice that said, "The Lord of glory, whom ye seek, is risen from the dead. My Lord was crucified, my God was slain. They laid him in the grave, and all seemed vain. But Christ arose and broke the gloom. My Savior left behind the empty tomb."
He lives. The Gospels tell us that the women saw Jesus that day. Matthew 28:9 says, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'All hail.' And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him." He appeared to his disciples that same night. John 20:19 and 20. Then the same day at evening, being the very first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. We are told in 1 Corinthians 15:6 that Jesus was seen of more than 500 people at one time. Come with us and see the risen Lord.
Not keep their deeds.
Jesus completed the work he came to earth to do. And now salvation is available to all who will accept his invitation to come. Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Have you accepted his invitation to come? For you see, he is not only the crucified Savior who is buried in a borrowed tomb. He is not only the risen Lord who came out of the tomb triumphantly to seal the way of salvation to those who will believe. He is the coming King. Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I come quickly." Are you ready to meet the coming Lord? Come with us as we joyfully anticipate the Lord's return.
Surprise on the end there, didn't you? How significant is the resurrection of Jesus Christ? If he really did rise from the dead, then everything else about him is also true. And people really are sinners. And he really did die for our sins and rise again, which means that we're all accountable to him. People in this world are trying their best to convince themselves that Jesus did not rise from the dead. from the Independent News of April 7, 2015, scientist claims he has virtually unequivocal evidence that could help explain the whereabouts of Christ's remains. Where is that evidence? You can say you have the evidence, but let's see it. March 28, 1980, a 2,000-year-old Jewish bone box was found with the inscriptions, Jesus, son of Joseph, Maria, Mariam, Matthew, Judas, son of Jesus, and Joseph, a diminutive of Joseph. A bone box. Burial places were a premium. Tombs were a premium in those days. And so when the body decayed to the point where there are nothing but bones left, they would compress the bones and put them in a box. And sometimes they would put family members together. It would save places of burial. And they found this bone box with these names, as if nobody else ever had those same names back in the day. You know, it's really sad that people continue to expect Jesus' body to still be in the tomb. But it's a moot question as to where Jesus' body is. It's an irrelevant question and a matter of no importance, because the truth is, you will never find the body of Jesus in a tomb. It's not there. Go into any and every tomb you can find, and your response will be exactly the same. He is not here. The Roman guards were actual eyewitnesses to the resurrection. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 4. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. You know, when angels are in the presence of God, it's a similar situation with Moses on the mountain. You're close to the glory of God. The glory rubs off on you, and you reflect that. And these angels, there were a couple of them, we know, but this particular one is sitting on this stone that's rolled away, and he has just come from the presence of the glory of God, and the glory of God is just shining on him. If you can imagine, it's not quite daylight, and this earthquake occurs. These bold Roman soldiers are standing guard over this tomb so nobody would come and steal away the body of Jesus, and all of a sudden, this earthquake, the stone rolls, and there's the angel. They saw it. They felt it. And they knew it was true. Then the women came, and they found that great stone rolled away, it says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 4. They saw that stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Estimates are that stone weighed about 2 tons. It's a gigantic circular stone in a trough. The trough would be on a slant so that when the stone is rolled towards the opening of the grave, it would kind of sit down in and seal the tomb. To roll a 2-ton stone up a slight grade to its open resting place would be a massive undertaking. I don't think angels need to exercise to have their might. Apparently, they're pretty mighty. Only took an angel to roll that stone away. And the door was wide open. What's going through their minds? This isn't what they expected. What could it possibly mean? Mark chapter 16 and verse 5 says, "And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted." Expecting, they brought spices to treat the body of Jesus. They were expecting to see the body of Jesus lying there. Instead, they see a young man, very much alive, who is not Jesus. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse 5, it says, "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Sure enough, you know that. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. And here's the invitation, come. Come see the place where he lay." Very interesting thing about that word lay. It's a verb, and it's in past tense. That's where he did lay, had lay, is no longer laying. That's in the past. And so Mark chapter 16 and verse 8 says, "They went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. They entered the tomb, no doubt with trepidation, a nervous or fearful feeling of uncertain agitation, since the stone was rolled away, the door was wide open. Then fear mounted on top of their trepidation when they saw an angel, the young man clothed in a long white garment. They were expecting to see the body of Jesus. Instead, they see someone very different, very much alive. The angel speaks to them and tells them that Jesus is alive. And they were to tell his disciples this was so. He invited them to see the place. Come, come see the place where Jesus had been laid. And they clearly saw that he was not there. They fled the tomb as if escaping some dangerous situation. They trembled. They were shaking. They were amazed. They were stunned. They were afraid. The unexpected nature of this event was quite disturbing. And then they saw him. There he was in their path. Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail, and they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him." The same invitation is given to us today. Come. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." The invitation is to come to Jesus. As John writes the book of Revelation, and as we read it, it remains prophetic. These things have not yet taken place in the book of Revelation. And so there is still time to come to Jesus. Jesus gave the invitation himself in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Is your soul thirsty? Is there a spiritual dryness in your life? The living Jesus invites you to come to him. He bore your sin on the cross. In a moment of time, he suffered for you what it would have taken you an eternity to endure. With his blood, Jesus paid the price for you that you could never afford. With his dying and rising again, Jesus conquered death. With his mercy, he keeps you from going to hell. With his righteousness, he gives you forgiveness and dissolves all your sins. And with his grace, the living Jesus gives you eternal life. If you have not yet come to Jesus, the invitation is open now. Come to the living Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is alive and he is the Savior. If there is anyone here, Lord, who has not yet received Jesus as their Savior, would you please prompt them to come to Jesus today? I pray in Jesus' name, amen.